when my Savior reached down for me. When he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or his Son. Then he reached down his hand for me.
Let me echo the sentiments of my brother. We appreciate your goodness toward us, both myself and Ginger. It's been a pleasure, a joyful experience being here for these years, and prayerfully God will give us many more.
Yes, sir.
Yes, amen.
Looking forward to it. Unless he comes, and if he comes, then we'll just turn up the volume a little bit and rejoice on the other shore. Amen.
Amen.
Chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy. We are dealing with the sins that mark the end time. Those things that our Bible tells us plainly that mark the end time. Folks are looking for signs of the end time. Here they are. If there are any signs to the end time, then surely here it is. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. So that pretty well identifies it, doesn't it? We're living in those perilous times. And he lists a catalog of 23 sins in this particular chapter. And we're coming tonight down to verse number 6. But we have to look again at verse number 5 in order to pick it up. Now, last week, we talked with you about those religious fanatics who have nothing but air and noise.
Yes, sir.
No power of God.
No, sir.
There's a multitude of miles between those who meet to worship the Lord and God showing up,
uh-huh,
and those who meet just to make racket and go to the house.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it doesn't even have to be a racket-making contest. It can be just the fact that folks are meeting together without the power of God.
Sure.
Yeah, man.
And that's happening all around this country.
Yeah.
Service after service, people are meeting without the power of God present. God is not there.
No, sir.
In many cases, Ichabod has been written over the door. He will never be there again. God help us to be grateful that he still smiles in our direction.
Yes.
Don't take that lightly. Don't ever take it lightly. When the Spirit of God moves in this place,
oh, yeah,
don't take it lightly. You see, we're human and we're much like Samson. We don't realize the power's gone until it's gone. Oh, that God would renew the power of his Spirit in our churches. Oh, that God would refresh the pulpit once again with his power. And the good Holy Ghost would do the work that only he can do in the hearts and lives of people.
Amen.
You see, we've tried to substitute down through the years, and there is no substitute for the Holy Spirit. Make a difference what you do. You're not going to substitute for the power of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to do, or for the presence of the Holy Ghost. By the way, he's never present if his power's not there. Just keep that in mind. So Paul tells us that there will be in the last days those who will come together, and they'll have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And then there is that stern warning, get away from it.
Yes.
Don't fiddle around with that kind of thing. Get away from it. You have no business anywhere that the Holy Ghost is not.
True.
Amen. Let me say this to you. You're not going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. You'd be better off in a bar downtown than in an assembly where God is not, that is mocking the presence of God. At least down there you know God's not there.
It's true.
Huh?
Yes.
Amen. Oh yeah. So don't come fussing with me because of what I said. Just talk to Ginger. She told me to say that.
Amen.
Verse number 6. For of this sort, what sort? Those who have this form have no power. They have facilities without powers in reality, what they're saying. Then he says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. Watch this terminology, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Here is that horrible description of what those without the power of God are guilty of doing. The scripture says that they're guilty of literally invading. They're like weasels. As a matter of fact, one of the Syrian versions of this verse says weasels. Like weasels creeping around, trying to find someone that they can get into their clutches and deceive them. In these verses, I want you to think about four things. I'm just going to give you the words, and then we'll try to come back and hang something on the billboard thereof. First of all, in verse number 6, there are those deceivers. We'll note those in a moment. Verse 7, diverters. Not just deceivers, but diverters. The verse number 8 shows us the demonic side of the circumstances. And then as well, verse number 8 shows us that they are damned individuals. There's no hope for them. Now look back at this verse with me, verse number 6. For of this sort, the sort without power, yet they are deceivers. Over in verse number 13 of this chapter, the scripture says, but evil men and seducers. That word seducers is the word we use for wizards. How about that? False spirits, demonic spirits, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They are deceivers, but they as well are deceived. My brother covered that well this morning. But deception is one of the greater sins of our generation.
Sure.
And I want you to understand, as he said, let me reiterate the thought again, that deception oft times is our own fault.
Sure.
You turn your eyes in the wrong direction, and you fail to see the cross.
Yep. Right, yeah.
You fail to see the end of the deception and so on and so forth. And as he said, all of us are guilty of being deceived. But there is a scriptural preference in this thought that the women are easier deceived than are the men. In the garden, it was not Adam that was deceived, it was Eve. Is that right?
That's right.
And Paul reiterates that thought as well, that it was not the man that was deceived, but the woman. And the scripture here states that these deceivers sneak like weasels into houses. They're looking for someone to deceive. I thought the other day some Jehovah's Witnesses pulled up in the driveway of the new house that we've just finished for the family. And I was waiting on the final inspection, and here comes this black automobile pulling up into the driveway, two women in the front, and I didn't see the fellow in the back, but he got out and came and talked with me. And I told him my name, and he told me his. By the way, Gary, he said to tell you that he was your friend and he wanted to talk to you. But nonetheless, he did say he knew you. And he spoke for a moment, and I said, I'm not interested in your JW garbage. He said, but will you take this and just read it? I said, I'll take it, but I'm not going to tell you what I'll do with it. You can work on that yourself. You're welcome to it. I'm an old-fashioned dude. No, amen. Now listen carefully. I told him, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is our only hope.
Amen.
Now, like the black preacher who read the scriptures and said, to which I partially agrees, that's what he said. He partially agrees. I'm going to tell you that you don't agree with that, then you have a problem. It's not God's problem, it's your problem.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is God's answer for man's sin.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is God's answer for heaven as far as the believer is concerned.
Sure.
You'll never get there without him.
Right.
But deceivers are all about us. I thought, as you mentioned this morning, the number of Baptist churches. I can just about guarantee you that 95% of those Baptist churches are not gospel preaching Baptist churches. Now, don't shoot at me yet. If Jesus Christ and he alone is not sufficient for your redemption, then you're as lost as you'll ever be, and you'll never be saved.
Amen.
Because God and God alone has laid down the manner of man's salvation. He didn't give you that privilege.
No, he didn't.
Had he done so, all of us would be in hell. Every last one of us would be in hell, no matter how many grannies prayed for us, because it's God who gave Jesus for our redemption.
Yes. Yes.
Redemption is not man-made.
No.
God does not depend on me to do something in order for him to do what he must do.
Right.
Now, wouldn't that do so? What is God if he has to depend on you? Are you listening to me? He can no longer be sovereign. The moment God has to depend on you, he is no longer God.
Amen.
Now that's simple, isn't it?
Yes.
You cannot believe in a sovereign God and a sovereign man at the same time. Now let me come back to it one more time. If, and that word if is just for the sake of my argument, not any doubt in my mind. If God is sovereign, then if he must depend on you to do something before he can do something, he is no longer sovereign.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes,
now, if you can't understand that, darling, I don't know how in the world it can be explained any more so. This is God's work, not man's work. And when man puts his filthy hands into it, I promise you, he'll mess it up every time. And that's exactly what's happened to religion down through the ages. Man has stuck his hands in it and his ideas into it, and he's ruined and polluted the stream of God's mercy toward mankind. Salvation is of the Lord, not God and man, not man and God. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God I didn't have to go to the belly of the whale to learn that.
Amen on that too.
Some of us may, but thank God I didn't have to go there.
Yes.
Let's just get it straight in our head. Deceivers are all about us. And it sounds so good to lay it off on you. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Lay it off on you now so you can do something so God can finally save you.
Yeah.
Now see, the natural man picks up on that and loves it.
Yes, sir.
He eats it like a hungry dog after a pork chop.
Yeah.
He loves it. Because he wants to be a part of everything. He has to be God of his own destiny.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Let me shock you. You are not the God of your own destiny.
Right. Truth. Nope.
There is one who holds control of the hours and the days, the moment and the seconds that you live. There is one who holds control of the circumstances in your life.
Yes, sir.
And those circumstances will never break you if you're his child.
True.
They may break your stubborn will, but they'll never break you in the manner of destroying you. But they will in every case develop you into a greater soldier of the cross.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Circumstances will not make you. Circumstances simply pull back the veil so we can really see what you are.
Yeah.
So you can see what you are. God knows what we are. But from time to time, he lets the veil roll back so we can get a glimpse of ourselves and see just how hopeless and helpless we really are. My soul, could we ever understand just how depraved we are in every avenue of our being? From our nose to our toes, we're depraved beings. We absolutely, absolutely defy God on every corner.
Sure we do.
And if God Almighty doesn't control that, the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, teach us plainly that we're to rear children, train up a child and the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it.
Right.
Now, mothers and fathers are responsible for training a child. It is their responsibility to put that child on the track. Let me see if I can explain this to you. Do you know why a train is called a train? Do you know why? It's not because it's a bunch of cars hooked together. You can hook a bunch of cars together on the highway out there and pull them down the road, and that is not a train.
Right.
What makes it a train? The track. Right?
Yes.
The tracks make it a train.
Yes.
If it runs on a track, it's pretty much so a train.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, what are the tracks doing? The tracks are training the cars.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're about to catch up, aren't you? If that track curves down yonder to the right, what are these cars going to do when they get there? They're going to turn to the right. Train up a child in the way he should go. You're about to catch it now. I see some of you. Yeah, you train that child. You put down the tracks and train that child, and he'll go that way. Hear me. God Almighty puts down the track, and he puts us on the track, and you're going to turn in God's direction.
Amen. Glory.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, every time.
Yeah.
You say, well, I might just jump the track right on into hell.
Right.
Well, let me take that back. That really wasn't a smart statement. So let me take it back. I erase that, take it away. Because if God puts you on the track, jump all you want to, but you can't get off that track.
Right.
Bless
him, Lord.
Do you stop and think about this. I'm going to help you a little bit right here. It'll help you for the rest of your days. You'll never see another train that you don't see this spiritual truth. Do you realize that everything in that car on that track is resisting going down that track?
Yeah.
Now, am I right or am I right? Oh, yeah. The very wheels that touch the track are resisting motion in the direction it's supposed to go. The very car itself, whether it be a flat car, whether it be a passenger car, whether it be a box car, whatever it happens to be, is resisting moving down that track. And when it comes to a curve, everything about that car is resisting turning on that track.
Yeah.
Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Now that's exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're resisting every motion that God puts in your life. You don't want to do it.
True.
But guess what? Remember what we said a few moments ago? God is sovereign. If God is sovereign, you're going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now, when Dad and Mom were still with us, Mom could tell us to do something, and once in a while, we didn't necessarily do it. But when Daddy told us to do something, you did it.
Amen.
How many times have we resisted Daddy's will? How many times have we not wanted to do what Daddy told us to do? Daddy said, go hold the corn. We wanted to go to the creek.
Right.
But you know what we did? We hoed corn and just thought about going to the creek. But when we got the corn hoed, Daddy let us go to the creek. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Now, I hope I don't have to spell all that out for you. I hope some of you are smart enough to catch up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have time to go through primer every time I stand up here. So let's pick up on some of this. God's little children, listen, when God says do it, you'll do it.
Amen.
Yes.
You may do it limping, but you'll do it.
Absolutely.
You may do it broken in body, but you're going to do it.
Right.
You may do it sorrowfully, but you're going to do it.
Yep.
You kicked against the wooing of the Holy Ghost that brought you to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
But God drew you.
Yes.
With a power that you could not resist.
True.
and brought you into the household of faith.
Amen. Amen. Bless his name.
What does God have to do to break you, to bring you where? I thought about, Brother Joe, I thought about this afternoon and what you were talking about today. How this circumstance happened in his life this week. And God brought him to the house of God this morning and saved him by his grace. Put life back in a dead body. Are you listening to me? Put life back into a body that the rescue folks had said, "We lost you." But God put life in that dead body and brought him back so he could save him at this altar this morning. Well, glory. You see, it don't get any better than that.
No. Amen.
Thank God.
Yeah,
that's right.
Now, if you can't see God in that, honey, you're blind.
Amen.
I mean, you're worse than blind. God can heal the blind.
Yes.
Glory. Deception. All about us. All colors. All deviations. I could stay there the rest of the night. Verse number 7. Look at this diversion that takes place. Ever learning. But watch it now. Never able. Did you see how that? It doesn't say never coming to the knowledge of truth. It says never able to come to the knowledge of truth.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes.
Do you know why you believe in God? Because God made you able to believe.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
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 Right.
But here in their deception, they are diverted from truth and they cannot. Some of you are looking at me strange. I'm so used to that, it don't even bother me anymore. I've had folks look at me strange for 50-some years. Listen carefully, if you will, for just a moment. Your ability, your ableness to believe is a gift from God Almighty.
Amen.
You didn't just conjure that up one morning and decide, "I'm going to believe in God." No, no, no. God gave you the ability to believe. Made you able to believe. God granted you repentance. And when God does that for you, you become an able saint.
Sure.
Like Ezra was an able scribe, you become an able saint. But this crowd become unable. They are not able. Do you understand the text? They have this form of godliness, but they're not able to understand, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Their ideas and ways are all to circumvent truth and get by God and put it in the hands of man. I'm going to say it if it hair lips all of you. We're living in a time when religion is so deceived and men are so deceived that they are crying loud a lie, trying to make it a truth to tie men to themselves rather than point them toward God.
Yeah.
Do you know that it is not important who I am? It is not important who my brother is. It is important only that you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That you are enabled to come to the knowledge of truth. Jesus, back in John chapter number 17, gives us the definition of eternal life. In verse number 3 of this chapter, here's what he says. Now, this is our Lord praying to the Father. And he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You ought to thank God every day. If you're a born-again child of God, you ought to thank God every day that God let you know Jesus. Yes. That God made you able to know Him and to know this power of God that changes men from what they were to what God is going to continue to make us until we get to the other shore. Yes. Amen. But so often even we begin to think that maybe we can kind of interject ourselves here and there and really just push somebody over the finish line. This dear brother this morning told me a circumstance here. I didn't try to push him over the finish line. I said, you need to talk to God. You're in the right place. God has you at the right point right now. You talk to God. When you get through talking to Him, then talk to me and tell me what's going on. You see, you are nothing but a signpost. I drive through these states. Now, I don't know about you, but I am thanking God more and more every day. I've had GPS for 30 years in the airplane. And the first one I bought, they said it's guaranteed to get you within 6 inches of the center line in any airport in this country. I said, if it can get me within 6 inches, I believe I can land the airplane. You get me within 6 inches, I can find the ground. Oh, yeah. But this highway GPS, it's guaranteed to get you lost 9/10 of the time. Amen. Ginger and I stuck the place in Louisiana that we go for a meeting year after year. We put it in the GPS and it took us off of the main road and took us back on a little cow pasture trail and then back even further in the woods. And I said, this thing's lying to us. Amen. And we got out there in the middle of those woods and it said, you have arrived at your destination. I said, this is the funniest looking church I ever saw in my life. Nothing but ragweeds and old tires laying there. So then I make an attempt to call a preacher, and guess what? I'm so far in the woods, my cell phone won't work. So I've got to go somewhere to get somewhere. Where was it the other day? The thing took us somewhere, and we were nowhere near where we were supposed to be. I'm just about ready to throw Berthie out the window. Say, go back to the old map thing, you know. But what I'm saying to you is this. Oftentimes we put our confidence in man-made, are you listening to me? Man-made means, and those man-made means are going to wind you up in the boondocks with tires all around you rather than in glory. But there's one thing you can put your bet your whole eternity on, and that is the Word of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to know Him, to know the Father and to know the Son is life eternal. But here's this crowd that's ever learning. See, what they're doing is inventing. All the time, inventing. How many of you were around when the Romans Road was invented? You remember that? Sure, some of us are old enough to remember when that happened. It was invented by men. And there may have been some good thoughts behind this thing, but it comes back to man. If it doesn't point man to the cross, if it's not Christ and Christ alone, then all of these roads are going to lead to hell. Amen. Rather than heaven. Yes. So men are diverters. They're blind and ignorant and glorying in it. Thirdly, the demonic outfit. Verse number 8. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also, watch it, resist the truth. Some of the old Jewish writers say that these two magicians down in Egypt were actually Jews and were the sons of Balaam. Now think that over for 15 seconds. It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Maybe some truth to that. I don't know. I wasn't there. But if they were, then it proves that they were renegades.
Yeah.
Like Balaam was a renegade. I don't have time to give you the account of Balaam. Just look it up if you don't know it. Or ask one of my great granddaughters down here. They'll tell you about him.
Amen.
But if these fellows were, then they were deceived themselves. Are you listening? Get a hold of this. They were deceived themselves. They weren't able to come to the knowledge of truth. And they withstand God's man and resist the truth.
Yeah.
Isn't that exactly what happens in the modern day?
Yes, sir.
And so often it's those renegades. Just about every false religion in America, you can trace back to some renegade Baptist that has resisted the truth. Now think about what I'm telling you and just put your head together and think about where they came from. Just about every single one of them. You see, the problem is they resist the truth. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And they resist God's man and stand against him, and they try to step into his shoes. If God didn't put preacher's shoes on you, don't try to put them on. That's all there is to it. Just don't try to put them on. They won't fit you. And you'll wind up just like these did. They finally wound up to be exposed for what they were. No benefit to God or man. When God shows up on the scene, honey, you can put her down. All of this outfit that knows not the Lord, all this outfit that's put all this junk together to try to deceive men and pull this great conglomerate together, are going to be exposed for what they are. A friend of mine who was in his 80s, I was just a very young man. Believe it or not, I used to be a young man. It was a long time ago, but I used to be. He said it this way. The church on Sunday morning, if Christ were to come, would not be affected for the most part in this country. Now, do you understand what he said? Go right on, do their thing, not even know that our Lord has come and taken us away. Won't know it till they've dismissed and somebody's talking about somebody disappearing down there a few minutes ago. Listen. And I don't have time to deal with this. I'm just going to say it and roll. Hollywood is numbing your ability to believe truth. All of this dumb, dead junk walking around and all this garbage, all they're doing is trying to twist your mind into believing some kind of a falsehood so when it really does happen and God's young ones leave here, and this outfit's walking around wondering where they are and what they're still doing here, because I've been to church every Sunday since Jesus was a little baby. You don't go to heaven because you go to church every Sunday. It's the right thing to do, but that's not going to get you there. Liking or disliking the preacher, liking or disliking the music, liking or disliking the chairs or the pews or the colors and the toilet paper, it's not going to get you to heaven. Knowing Jesus Christ and Christ alone is what's going to get you to heaven. This outfit resists the truth. Men of corrupt minds, I don't have time to get into that. Reprobate, look at the word, reprobate concerning the faith. They are damned. Do you know what you can do for a reprobate? Tell him bye. Now, do you know what a lot of preachers would do? They'd go to praying for him. Oh, let's lay hands on him. Let's pray for him. Let me tell you something. The reprobate's damned. Let me say that one more time. A reprobate is damned. I don't care whose granny prays for him. He's going to hell like a fireball because he's reprobated. Now, you get real tender in Romans chapter 1 and thank God I made a mistake if you want to, but he didn't. And he didn't make a mistake here. The reprobate is a damned individual. They've deceived. They've diverted multitudes. They've gone into houses and deceived silly. That's a
good word to deal with. I don't have time to do that. Silly women, women who are easily led astray, diverting them from truth. And finally, then damning their own soul and multitudes with them. Jesus said that crowd had made a more so a child of hell than they themselves. Their so-called spiritual offsprings. It's a dangerous thing to be deceived. It's a dangerous thing to believe the lie. It's a dangerous thing to think you can fix it. Only God can fix your eternal soul. And if He's fixed yours, thank God, you ought to be rejoicing every day of your life, giving Him the glory and rejoicing because He is God and He's fixed something you couldn't fix, religion couldn't fix, the church couldn't fix, the world won't even dare to think about fixing, preachers can't fix it, but God can. And He does on a regular basis. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed for a moment.